You guys got me dialed up there? Just a moment. We'll be talking about things that make a difference. Before we do, though, we've talked about a couple that has placed membership here and wanted to work and worship with the congregation here for about the last week. And Greg and Susan Benedict, would you all stand up? Everybody needs to know who they are. They're new members of the congregation here and want to work and worship with us. They've moved here recently to be with their son and daughter-in-law, or close to them, and to be with them and with their babies. So thank you both. We're so thankful that you've become part of God's family here. Did you guys find my lesson? All right. Do I need to do it? Oh, I'm the one that's holding up. Why don't y'all just tell me? Everybody in the booth back there is shaking their head. Distinguish the things that make a difference. Okay? So I'm sorry. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We've been studying Philippians on Wednesday night. So, I thought what we would do is we would study just a few concepts out of Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, where the Apostle Paul, really still continuing in his salutation, says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in love and all discernment, so that ye may approve the things that are excellent." If you mark in your Bible, mark under there, just draw a line under approve the things that are excellent, okay? Because that's where we're going to get our lesson from today. "That ye may be sincere and void of offense unto the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Okay. So brethren, I'm going to tell you something. That phrase, approve the things that are excellent, if you break it down and you look at all the words, and I did before, okay, believe me. And if you don't believe me, go do it yourself. It equals distinguish the things that make a difference. Distinguish the things that differ in the Greek. But what he's really saying is, it helps you to determine or distinguish the things that make a difference. To approve the things that are excellent, do that for us, all right? Well, first of all, we got to ask the question, why? Why is he praying that they approve the things that are excellent or distinguish the things that make a difference? Because there's a lot of fodder out there, I'm going to tell you. That's why. There is a lot of fodder. There's a lot of stuff to navigate through to get to the truth. And there's just a few things that God wants us to know good. He wants us to know them good. And why? Because they truly make a difference. The context of the outcome of knowing the things that make a difference is judgment. That's the context. Okay, so there's a lot of things we can know. There are a lot of things we can know, and there's a lot of things we can distinguish between, but He wants us to distinguish between the things that make a real difference to us. What He said was that we might be sincere, look at verse 11, and void of offense in the day of Jesus. Now what is He talking about? He's talking about judgment. He's talking about judgment. So we need to be thinking about these things that truly make a difference because our souls depend on it. being filled with fruits of righteousness. Being filled with fruits of righteousness. Well, I'm going to ask you something. Who defines what righteousness is? We can't just do anything. We can't just do what our passion tells us to do. If we're passionate about something, no. Being filled with righteousness, who defines what righteousness is? Look what he says. It's Christ. Look at verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ. Do you see that? So Christ's word, Christ tells us, he's the definer of what righteousness is. And those are the things that make a difference that we need to be filled with, be filled with those. And what is righteousness? Well, I want to ask you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire. He's writing to those who were once Jews. My heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Look at verse 3. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. You can read all the way down through there. You can read all the way down through there, and it has to do with making Jesus your Lord. Chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. He says, the word is nigh me. It's in my mouth, it's in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mind man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All the way, you can read all the way down to verse 17. Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The necessary inference I'm trying to get you is that if Christ is your Lord, you need to do His Word. Because that's where righteousness is. You see that? It's not something we thought of. Just not something we think of. We're the people. He's the one that makes up what righteousness is. He tells us what it is. And then it says, if you go back to Philippians chapter 1, why should we be doing it? Why do is righteousness? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11, he finishes that sentence with saying this. Unto the glory and praise of God. Do you see that? So it's for God's glory that we do His righteousness. So, there's a whole bunch of scriptures here. Titus 3, 5. If you'll go there with me, what does he say? It says, Titus 3, 5, the Apostle Paul writing to Titus, he says, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to talk about that. And he says in verse 8, faithful is the saying, and concerning these things, I desire that thou affirm them confidently to the end that they who have believed God may be careful to maintain good works. Are those good works done in self-righteousness from verse 5? No. Good works done according to what God gave us in His Word. Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You can't. We don't have any right calling Him Lord, Lord if we're not going to do what He says. We talked about in class that this morning, didn't we? He's not our Lord if we're not doing what He says. Matthew 7, 21 and 20, I missed the colon. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Many were saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Oh, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's how it starts. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name... somewhere prophesy in there. And do many wonderful works. Three things. Prophesy, casting out demons, and doing miracles. And he said, then will I profess unto them, depart from me. I never knew you. Ye that work lawlessness. Iniquity. That's what iniquity means from 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. It's lawlessness. Okay? And then Ephesians 2:10. How do we get access to His grace? We get access to His grace by our faith. Where do we get our faith? Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He aforetime prepared that we should walk in them. Not us. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you this. So, if the context is judgment, if the context is judgment, and I am to distinguish the things that make a difference, I better figure out what His Word is. Isn't that the bottom line? That's the bottom line. Well, how do we distinguish the things that make a difference? Verse 9. Look at verse 9 with me. And this I pray, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That's how I distinguish. Discerning. I get a discerning mind by knowing, by having a love for God that manifests itself in my love for His Word, to do His will. That's how it manifests. My love for God is not that, oh, I'm just gonna play platitudes to Him. I'm gonna lay Him on thick. He don't want to hear it. Didn't we just read Matthew 7, 21 through 23? I don't want to hear that. Isn't that what He said? What does He say? I don't want to hear it. But he said, I want you to have a desire to do my will. John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Isn't that what love is? 1 John chapter 5, 2 through 3, turn with me there. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. That don't sound right. It is. I just wasn't at the right place. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do His commandments. So even the way I treat my brethren, I better do it according to what? First. What? God's Word. I'm going to tell you something. If I just let my children do anything they want to do and they grow up and they despise me and society and everything, have I really loved them? Have I really loved them? I want to ask you something. Do I love them by telling them I love them, or do I love them by showing them I love them? I love them by showing them I love them. Sister Ann, the other night, we were talking to them, and she has on her phone where her kids are, even at their age. You know why? Because she knows if they're stuck in some place, she's going to go get them. She loves them by showing them she loves them. We show God we love Him by the way that we treat our brethren from His Word. That's why. James chapter 1. Oh, for this is the love of God, verse 3. I didn't get that. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not more than we can do. In fact, they're the very best thing we can do for ourselves. That's right. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. And be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer that worketh. be a not, be, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. You know what? We deceive ourselves. We're just kidding ourselves if we say we love God and we don't do His word. That's what He just said. We're kidding ourselves. We're just kidding ourselves. So why is our focus this year in the Hickman Mills Church of Christ to get back to the Bible? Because that's where God's word is. It is nowhere else, brethren. Okay. Well, he tells me in Philippians chapter 1 that the only way, really, the only way I can get there is, first of all, I can't get to the Lord going through the world. I just can't do it. I'm going to have to give up the world. I can't have one foot in and I can't have one foot out. I can't do that. The world has got too much, it's got too much vacuum and it's going to suck me right in. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment. So don't get one leg still stuck in the world. It's not going to work. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, turn over to Philippians chapter 3 with me. The Apostle Paul said, here's what he gave up. Although I myself, verse 4, might have confidence even in the flesh. If any other man thinketh to have confidence in the flesh, yet I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the tribe of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Verse 6. As touching zeal, persecuting the church, as touching righteousness which is in the law, he's talking about the old law, found blameless. Howbeit, what things were gained to me, these things I have counted but lost for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I might gain Christ. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, that this is foolishness to the world. The word of the cross is foolishness to the world. God's wisdom is foolishness to the world, but not to us. Not to us. And so, if I give up the world, then I can see clearly how to distinguish the things that He's given me to do. But if I've got one leg in the world, I've still got the veil of the world showing me different things and leading me different ways. But I've got to practice what God told me to do. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. You know, we can't just study the Word and not do it. He says in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 5, of whom we have many things to say, and they're hard of interpretation, seeing you become dull of hearing. For when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of sound or solid meat. For every one that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is but a babe. But solid food is for the full-grown man. Look at this. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you see that? And what that says is that there's a growth. There's some growth here. Now, how many of your 35 and 40-year Christians and you're still not studying the Word of God? And you're still just flopping around whatever anybody tells you. That's where I'm going. I'm liking it on Facebook. Right? But I'm not digging to see if it's so. I want you to dig to see if it's so, because that's exactly what the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They studied their scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And who was it coming from? It was coming from Paul. And they saw signs and wonders with it. And they were still studying the old scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying was right. And we need to be doing that too. Study your word. Study your word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one that rightly divides the word of truth, he says. Handling aright God's word. How do you handle aright God's word? Well, Hebrews 5, 11 through 15 says you by reason of use. Right? Psalm 1, 1 through 3, it talks about keeping God's word where it needs to be, and that's first in my life. Well, so what are some of the things that are excellent? What are some of the things that make a difference? Humility and service. That makes a difference. He wants us to be humble in our service to Him. Luke 17, 10, when we've done everything it was our duty to do, what do we call ourselves? Luke says. Christ said, He records what Christ says. Luke records what Christ says. He says we call ourselves unprofitable servants because we've only done that which it was our duty to do. That's what He says in Luke 17. Micah 6, 6 through 8, does God want us to, He wants us to think up everything and make it real pretty, right? And man, just a show for Him, right? No. No. You read Micah 6, 6 through 8, and He says, I just want humble service from you. That's all I want. I want you to be sorry for your sins, and I want humble service from you. That's all I want. In Philippians 3, if you'll turn over there with me, Philippians 3, 17 through 21, brethren, be ye imitators together of me, and mark them that so walk even as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is perdition, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion anew this body of humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of His glory, according to the working whereby He is able even to subject all things unto Himself. Everything's His anyway. It's going to get right back to Him, and everything's going to be subjected to Him. Today, you don't think you want to make Christ your Lord? Someday you wished you had. We all going to. He's going to subject all things to Himself. Understanding growth comes through sacrifice is something that we need to know that makes a difference. So growth comes through sacrifice. Huh? Yeah. 2 Timothy 3:12. He said, all that should live godly shall what? All that would live godly in this present world shall suffer persecution. That's just a fact. That's one you can put over in the fact column. If you're going to be on God's side, you're going to suffer persecution. Do you see Christ doing anything else? He suffered persecution. If you're going to get on His side, we're going to suffer persecution. But it's not long. It's not long. And Peter calls it, it's called refining. He's refining us. You know, the devil thinks he's winning, and what he's doing is he's refining us. What do you do when you're refining something? Well, you take something that's an ore, and it has gold in it, for say, right? And you put it in the oven, and you do what? You get all the other stuff out of there, and what are you left with? You're left with gold. You refine it. It separates. You know what? God's Word separates us from the world through the persecution that we encounter by following Him. He said, think it not strange when you don't walk with them, verse chapter 4 and 1 Peter verse 1, in the same excess of riot that you once did. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to belittle you. They're going to make fun of you. You know why? Because they're convicted of God's Word. It's not after you, they're after God. And you're just reminding them of it. Brothers and sisters, something that makes a difference is profiting by reproof. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired of God, is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We've got to be reproved and corrected before we can have the instruction and make it worthwhile. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We've got to understand that. And so, where does the rubber meet the road? What happens when my toes get stepped on? My toes get stepped on every time I hear God's Word. You know why? Because He meant it for me. He meant it for me. Are you mad at your brother? Are you mad at them? Do they love you enough to say something to you about it? Do they know if they feel you're in error, or if you're not thinking right about something? Do they love you enough to say something about it? And then what is your reaction to them? Are you offended? Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, "Have I become your enemy now because I'm telling you the truth?" Have I become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Hebrews 12, 5 through 13, and chapter 13, verse 17, we need to understand that it's God. Okay? It's God who's stepping on our toes, and He is straightening us out like He does His children. And then chapter 13, verse 17 talks about how we should be one towards another, and it's specifically around how we should be to the elders. Now I know it sounds self-serving, right? Miller, you're up there and you're talking about you guys need to be obeying them elders. No, what I'm telling you is God's Word. And if it's wrong, you come to me and tell me it's wrong, and we'll do something different. But it says right there in chapter 13, verse 17, that we should submit to the elders because they're watching out for our souls. So, brethren, Romans chapter 2, verse 29 says that my praise should get me. He talks about what is real circumcision, even in the old law. Is it the circumcision that was done physically? Or who were really Jews in the old law, he says. The ones that were really Jews in the old law were the ones that were circumcised in their what? Heart. Their conscience. That's the one. And he said, those are Jews indeed. I'm going to tell you something. We're Christians indeed when we circumcise our hearts to God's Word, and we distinguish the things that make a difference in our lives. This morning, if you have not obeyed the Lord's gospel, would you do so? Someday, there's a song that says, it may be too late. Someday it's going to be too late. It's either God is going to come back and He's going to catch us unawares. That's what He says. 2 Peter chapter 3. But it says, God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the day. Today's the day. Have you been living your life like it's not, like there's no heaven out there waiting, or there's no hell? Because there's both. And what gets us there is for us to distinguish. What gets us one place or the other is for us to distinguish in our minds and in our hearts what matters. And God gave us those things. Would you obey the Lord's invitation this morning while together we stand and sing?